Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The radio home of the Buffalo Sabres. WGR Sports Radio 550 and WGR550.com. Sports Update.
Not a lot of breaking hockey news at this moment, but the Seattle NHL expansion team is likely to have a nickname before it has a coach, so says General Manager Ron Francis as he spoke with SI.com on Monday. There's a meeting every week on it, Francis says. The plan is to have a name as we get into early 2020. Seattle, of course, approved as the NHL's 32nd team back on December 4th. Francis hired as GM on July the 18th, and we will see. When it comes to a coach, they're looking at likely January to June of 2020, but it is possible a desired candidate could accelerate that timetable. The narrative around Andrew Luck's unavailability continues to shift by the hour. On Tuesday evening, Colts GM Chris Ballard told reporters on a conference call that the team's medical staff and training staff believe Luck's calf strain has developed into more of a high ankle injury, per multiple reporters. Antonio Brown is back in Napa. Oakland Raiders receiver arrived at camp for the first time in more than a week to rousing fanfare. Quote, I'm extremely grateful to be here, said Brown. I'm dealing with a lot of adversity. It's on the up and up, so I'm excited to be back and see my teammates and get into the groove of things here shortly. Yankees won last night, Mets lost, Astros did both, Blue Jays won as well, and the Bisons, after a 2-4 road trip, were happy to be back home. It showed very quickly. They put up 5 in the first in an 11-3 rout of Toledo. At Salem Field on Tuesday night, Andy Burns clubbed a grand slam, and tonight, same two teams will battle again downtown at 7:05. Coming up at noon, Murph and Steve live from Wofford College in Spartansburg, South Carolina, for day 2 of Bills practice there with the Panthers. Hour number 2 now of the Instigators here on MSG and WGR Sports Radio 550. Lists abound. Not just heavy metal lists, which has garnered you significant reaction and given us reason to celebrate Rivs, because we were right in our assessment.
Apparently that I was a winner until my last
pick. Yeah. it's how you finish.
That's it.
But we were talking, obviously, heading into the show just about, you know, the recent rankings that we've been diving into from NHL Network as far as top wingers and top centers. And obviously next on the list that will be up for debate, which will be coming out shortly, but is being previewed now as far as on social media, who would be the best defenseman right now if you're looking? And boy, there's a lot of ways to look at it because the game is constantly changing. And even though typically the win now or best player now question would often trend towards a veteran player, some certainly look at young players being able to impact the game dramatically. And thus, when we dive into the list of potential candidates for top defensemen right now, Rivs, I'm curious which way you would lean as far as the age spectrum is concerned with these guys.
Well, you know what? This is a really nice group of defensemen. There's no question about that. What I had looked at as I was scrolling down all these names is I started to realize that there is a little bit of shift of power here as we're moving into the next couple years. Mm-hmm. You know, the power defense core for many years has been Drew Doughty, Byfuglien, Letang, Giordano, Subban, Suter, Burns, Carlson, and Erik Karlsson. And it seems like now we're having a new wave of defensemen, guys that are under the age of 23-ish, 22, guys like Dahlin, Heiskanen, Shabbat from Ottawa, who had a fantastic season last year. Mm-hmm. Werenski, Vince Dunn, if you watched him in the Stanley Cup playoffs, I know he got injured in that for a couple games in the, I think it was the third round. Yeah. He is an electric defenseman that is only getting better. So Vince Dunn, Charlie McAvoy, Sergachev, Samuel Girard, who just signed a contract, and Cale Makar, a guy who hasn't even played, played a little bit last year in the playoffs.
Yep.
I believe that these young up-and-coming defensemen are going to really start to push and take over this group of older defensemen in the next coming years. So,
Who's the best of the group?
If I had to pick one defenseman right now, I will pick Victor Hedman.
Okay. I think I had Victor Hedman as well. And when I look at the list that the NHL Network put and trying to figure out, so I look at players and I put an arrow up, arrow down, or just an arrow sideways. Like, where are they trending, mm-hmm. right? Alex Pietrangelo, I'm going to say it's staying the same. Like, I had him high. He started slow. He came back strong, whatever. Like, Brett Burns.
He's on the way down.
He's staying the same. McAvoy's going up. Doughty's going down. Bufflin, to me, is maybe going down. You got guys that are going down, going up. I think it comes with age. Victor Hedman, for me, keeps getting better. And he's a stud, so I've got him at number one. I've got guys like Shabbat that I think is not just one arrow up. It's two or three arrows up.
Yeah.
But there's a name on this list that I cannot pass on, and I think is right there and is knocking at the door of being one of the best defensemen in the National Hockey League.
Can I guess him?
You can absolutely guess
him. Jones.
Seth Jones.
Are you serious?
Seth Jones. Rivs and I just became best friends.
And you didn't miss the high five. I love it.
We didn't struggle like Tiger.
100% agree with that, Marty.
Seth Jones, and I know John Tortorella's system helps those guys. It helps the defense because he plays a really tight defensive zone system. Guys like Dan Girardi, Mark Stahl, Ryan McDonough, they really made their career off of what John Tortorella did for them in New York. But Seth Jones is showing more than just what he can do in the defensive zone. He's a great skater, great passer, unbelievable instincts offensively. And with his age, I think you are seeing the guy that now is going to take it to a whole other level. And guys like Rasmus Dahlin and Mikko Iskanen, and they are all looking at Miro Iskanen, I should say, they're all looking at a guy like Seth Jones as the way you play the game now. Mm-hmm. As a defenseman, is the skating, the instinct, the weaving through the offensive zone, changing position, being down in front of the net, coming back at the blue line, using your skating as your safety valve a little bit, being able to come back into play. You know, the Brett Burns and Erik Karlsson, the Drew Doughty, they really enhanced the position of defenseman for a while, but I think now it's not as much as the hard, like I'm one way, like Brett Burns, I'm going in the attack and I'm a big guy. It's it's very much more finesse. Dahlin has that finesse. Heiskanen has that finesse. Seth Jones has that finesse. And I really like that kid.
What's lacking in Seth Jones?
Nothing.
I
don't think there's anything lacking. His last three seasons in the National Hockey League, how old is he? 24.
I'll tell you what's lacking.
His last three seasons, he's had 42, 57, and 46 points with a 12, 16, and 9 in goals. He's got
how many power play goals did he have last year?
He's 6'4", 210. He's I think, still developing. Mm-hmm. People, don't think that kids 24 years old is not old, as far as I'm concerned, but he's still getting better. He's defensively responsible. He has added so much to his offense, and he doesn't lead the rush. He's a great puck distributor, but he is also a guy that is right up in the play, loves to jump up into the holes to be that almost second wave of attack, and he's very tough to play against because he's a very good skater. So he's really, really taking big strides.
The only thing that is missing from Seth Jones' game for me is that shot fear factor. You know, you look back in the years of even Ray Bourque taking so many shots on goal, right? Shea Weber or even a P.K. Subban to a point, but those guys having that shot.
Is Erik Karlsson shot a fear factor?
No, but he scores goals, and he scores power play goals, and he gets shots on net. He has tons of shots on net. Zdeno Chara,
Are you talking about the heaviness of the shot
I'm talking
or
about
the ability to get it on net?
Seth Jones has had zero I'm going to say zero power play goals last year. You need to have that power play kind of depth and almost...
He wasn't on the first line power play last year.
It doesn't
year.
Matter. I'm just saying that's what's missing
obviously
to his game
does.
Right
if
now.
You're, if, you know, if you're on the first or second line power play, it means a lot. In the
right, but Lindstrom, is there a reason he's Nick not Lindstrom, on it? Is that the point?
Because they have Werenski.
Right.
They went with four forwards and one D. Yeah. One's right. more elusive. Werenski
you're saying
has,
that if given the opportunity, Jones...
No question.
Yeah.
100%.
If I look at Nick Lindstrom. Nick Lindstrom was so good, but Nick Lindstrom also shot the puck. Also got power play goals. You know, I'm not saying his shot, like when he took a one-timer from the point or shot it from the point, I was like, ooh, it's coming. It's going to be 100 miles an hour. But
you know what,
he had
know what
that
he had, you know what he had there was the ability to find holes. He didn't. He very rarely did Nicholas Lindstrom take slap shots.
Right.
He was a he shot wrist shots through traffic, and thank God for Holmstrom, because he should be praised for getting absolutely beat up in 100%. Front of that net. Nicholas Lindstrom was a guy that got pucks to the net. He was always, always heads up play, and it wasn't a really hard shot, but he just knew how to get it there.
Lindstrom would score 7, 10, 5, 9, 8, 6, 8, 9, 6, 7. He'd score, you know, half a dozen to 10 power play goals a year.
And own the Norris Trophy or finish as runner-up. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think you had Lindstrom.
Who was your
in
guy on that list?
Victor Hedman.
I have Hedman. And I think Hedman right now is developed into.
Or did you say Hedman and then, but the wild card is Jones?
I don't think I can unseed Victor Hedman.
Okay.
But the wild card. And look, let's draw a comparison with what I like about Seth Jones and what I also love about Rasmus Dahlin. Although, just in 1 year, the skating, the vision, the stick play, like in the defensive zone, that stick is so good and breaking up passes, taking, stealing pucks away. But one thing that we haven't seen out of Dahlin yet, and it's the same thing with Seth Jones, is Dahlin at the point on the power play, he's not going to scare you with that shot. I don't think anybody's saying, hey, if Dahlin has the puck.
No, he's the first to tell you that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and that's something that may improve.
It will.
And if you can, not saying Nick Lindstrom had the big booming shot and we were scared of his shot, but you had to respect it because he still put some goals, especially on the power play. I think that's what Dahlin and Seth Jones, they have to get to is saying, hey, you have to respect my shot. You don't have to be scared of it, but you have to respect it.
And it's not just the shot, though. It's the vision to know where to place the puck,
and when to shoot it.
And then it goes into what you were saying to me this morning before we got on. Where are all the goals scored from? It's not going to matter to anybody if Dahlin doesn't develop the booming shot, but if he constantly puts it in the place where this team and management has continued to talk about this all summer long, about having the guys in the right area, right? Like, it all ties in, and that's what makes Dahlin the perfect fit, because Dahlin, I want to say 95% of the time, is going to put it exactly where it needs to be. And it's either going to find the back of the net or it's going to be a gift for someone who's in the right place.
Yeah. It's almost like the top defenseman on the power play used to be a guy like Shea Weber, who had that one-timer who would basically blast 110-mile-an-hour one-timer. Sheldon Surrey. I mean, it was scary standing in front of the net. You know, Alex Ovechkin is still doing it to
Chris
this Pronger.
Day.
Yeah. The games being played, you know, where before a lot of teams just had a big heavy one timer on the one side and then go for rebounds. The game is a puck moving game. You have to move the puck exceptionally well because the penalty killers are better than what they've ever been right now. So the guy that's
the puck, you have to have the deception in your way of playing. You have to have moving bodies and everybody's got to be on the same page. And that's why a guy like Dahlin now on the power play, I think, is a much better option than possibly a Ristolainen, is because Risto's got a bigger shot. And he's going to get it on net harder and quicker than Dahlin. But you have to be able to maybe go down the left side on the power play and do a rotation with your guy and then look for the front of the net and look for that pass option, which Dahlin can do 100% times better than Risto in that spot.
And if you remember back even, and this is not a bad thing, but it was just the way they did things on the power play, Ristolainen never shot a one-timer.
No.
He has a tremendous...
Overtime. There were some overtime situations.
A lot of the situations because Jack is on the left flank on his one-timer and Risto is a righty, so he can never get the pass from Jack in a one-timer situation.
The Sabres are going to struggle on the power play until they realize that Jack doesn't have to touch the puck 95% of the time on the power play. You look at all the best power plays in the league, they work it on both sides, and they move the puck very quick, and they have plays that they make. I just found last year, and for all the years that Jack's been here, everything goes to Jack. The teams know it, and they give almost Ristolainen room up top, and they cover everything down low in the cross side, and they don't have any plays because they only play on the one side. Once you have maybe a Rasmus Dahlin, you know, on the other side with the vision and puck moving ability, now all of a sudden things will open up. You look at Washington Capitals. Who's the most dangerous power play guy in the last 10 years?
Nick Backstrom.
Okay, so you can say Backstrom.
Ovechkin?
I'm going to say Ovechkin.
Yeah, okay. I thought you meant like dangerous, and he has the puck on his stick, and he can make plays.
If you had one guy on the ice that you want on a power play, you would probably say Alex Ovechkin because he scores so many goals.
Yes.
But you have to understand, Alex Ovechkin barely touches the puck.
Yeah.
It's all going through Kanetsov, Backstrom, TJ Oshie's in the middle, and they have John Carlson up top, and he does shoot one-timers. Mm-hmm. So what they do is they have all these plays on the one side, but the most dangerous guy in hockey sits by himself on the other side. And if you do not cover him for 1 second, the puck's in the net.
Mm-hmm. I'm intrigued by the Jack comment. Maybe we can save it for later, too, but I mean, because obviously it's going to be a work in progress with the power play. I just wanted to kind of go back to Seth Jones and just kind of finalize that in the sense of, you know, he's been considered for a Norris Trophy a couple of times in top 10 in voting, once in top 5. And the reason I think this is relevant is because we're fixated on Rasmus Dahlin here. Dallas is on Heiskanen, and there are others around the league. Do you think Seth Jones will actually ultimately win a Norris Trophy? Because the competition is so steep, and the game trends quickly in different directions as it goes off of the likes of Hedman's of the world and maybe to an even younger group.
Now, over the last, over the last few years, I've gotten to see how the voting kind of happens, you know, being in the media now and seeing who has a chance to vote on some of the awards, you know, and we know, like, for example, the Vezina Trophy is voted by the general manager, so it's not the media, but if you cover a team, you watch a lot of hockey, but you're not going to watch Miro Heiskanen every night. Mm-hmm. You're not going to watch Seth Jones every night. You're here in Buffalo, you're watching Dahlin every night. Obviously, you're seeing the genius of it. And I think the easy pick right now, and as we say, is seeing a guy like Victor Hedman, because Tampa is put on a bigger stage because they're that good. So they are being shown on national TV more often. Mm-hmm. You see more of the highlights of the Tampa Bay Lightning that you do of maybe the Columbus Blue Jackets or the Dallas Stars or even other players. The Buffalo Sabres are included in that. So I think it's hard for a Victor Hedman to be dethroned by a Seth Jones at this moment with the way the votes are being tabulated. Yeah. If you did a player's vote on who's the toughest defenseman to play against or who's the best defenseman you're playing against right now, I think we may see a guy like Seth Jones getting maybe more traction because players that are on the ice can appreciate what a Seth Jones is actually doing. Even when you're sitting on the bench, Rivs, correct me if I'm wrong, because as a backup goalie, I did a lot of that. But when you're playing, you catch yourself watching certain players on the ice, on the other team. And you catch yourself, wow, look at this guy. And Seth Jones is that type of guy that, you know, you have... You know, guys on the bench here, you're going to have Jeff Skinner on the bench and he's watching the game and then he'll be like, oh, look at what Seth Jones was able to do. Like, he does those type of things. Dahlin's the same way. Like, players on other teams are watching Rasmus Dahlin and they're like, wow, this kid is a stud. Like, he's great. So, I think it's going to be hard to unseat a guy like Hedman. Giordano came in strong last year. And the
few years and finally got rewarded for it,
But it takes time. It takes 2-3 years to get the votes, right?
It's like, he's the anomaly now, though, right, at his age,
obviously. Like, okay, like, for example, in tennis, you win or lose your match, right? Mm-hmm. So if Serena Williams is the number one in the world, you win, you beat her. It's not a judging competition. But figure skating, if you have a top figure skater, yeah, it's going to take 2 or 3 years for that figure skater to come up and unseat that top one that's going to get the benefit of the doubt. And so I feel the Norris Trophy is kind of like a judging competition where, sure, you have to build up, mm-hmm, to be able to unseed that.
And you want to know a perfect guy that was not even chosen for a finalist this year? He scored 20 goals and had 72 points.
Morgan Riley plus
24. Yeah. Think about this. Scored more goals than anybody on defense.
Yep.
He was third in points with 72, and he was a plus 24, and he is not even in the top three.
What was he?
So it's like the old boys club. You have to get your foot in the door, mm-hmm, to garner that respect, and then once you're there, it seems like you can hang around for years after. And, you know, obviously Brent Burns has been one of the best point-producing defensemen for years. Erik Karlsson, him and both those two have gone head-to-head. Mm-hmm. Then you have another defenseman who has been thought of as the best two-way defenseman in the National Hockey League for a number of years, and that's Drew Doughty.
Oh, Drew Doughty, yeah.
Right? Yep. And he's always going to be in the mix. So you're now Victor Hedman has moved himself in the last couple years into a category where he's amongst those six or seven or eight guys that, mm-hmm, they kind of go to every year. If Morgan Riley has the season that he did this year into next year, mm-hmm, I believe that he will probably move himself into another category.
Morgan Riley was fifth in voting for the Norris last year.
Yeah,
fifth.
And the Leafs now
have
two of the top seven defense scorers from last year, given that Tyson Barrie has joined the mix. The interesting, yeah, one in all of it is going to be the very lightly regarded Erik Gustafsson, who is still on about $1 million a year contract, and he had 60 points for the Hawks last year, and he's going into the final year of his deal, and he is not highly regarded, per se, you know, for an awful lot of what he does. But
okay, I'm kind of embarrassed right now because I don't even know who he is.
That's the point, yeah, is he has found his way in, and yet people that watch him all the time in Chicago
where'd he come
are kind
from?
Of like,
27 years old.
He was with the Oilers. They, yeah, let him go.
Oh, yeah. All right. Okay. That makes sense now.
Again, like to our point previously, like Ryan McDonagh finished eighth in Norris Trophy voting last year.
Right.
30 points ahead of Seth Jones.
Right.
Seth Jones was ninth. Mm-hmm. So Tampa Bay, Victor Hedman, you know, Kucherov, Stamkos, Point. The fact that they are being portrayed on a bigger stage, now you have the Professional Hockey Writers Association that is voting on this, are looking at Ryan McDonagh. Ryan McDonagh was with the New York Rangers, went to conference finals and Stanley Cup finals, and got that resume built up.
Sure.
He is in there. Chris Letang. Chris Letang was sixth in voting. You know, he was twice as many points as a guy like, not twice, almost four times as many points as a guy like Seth Jones. Chris Letang had 145 points in the voting like criteria, and Seth Jones at 40.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're looking at it, you're like, wow.
Need to take a quick time out. How long before Rasmus Dahlin thrusts himself into top five in Norris voting?
Top five?
Yep.
I'm going to say 3 years because, again, it takes time to build, yep, your resume, and the Sabres are not on a national stage all that often right now.
Riffs?
I completely agree. Doesn't have anything to do right now with his skill set or anything. Mm-hmm. I think physically he just needs to mature. Mentally he needs a couple years to mature. And on top of that, most importantly, if you're going to be in these top votings, you have to be on a great team.
Mm-hmm.
And once the Sabres start to and they are moving in the right direction, but once they get to a category where they're, you know, above the average and Darlene's playing well, mm-hmm, you'll see him up there, no question.
All right, this or that coming up as we continue Instigators on WGR Sports Radio 550 and MSG. Stay with us.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the Instigators. This or that is
Thank goodness for this segment. I need a break.
You need a break. Presented to you by Duffer and his music knowledge.
Oh, join no, him at www.duffersmusicknowledge.com.
This or that, and we have some really fun one. Hey, we did a draft of, instead of doing a summertime six pack, we did a draft in honor of beer. We talked ale, lagers, all of that. Big Fan Fest Saturday, that blue and gold ale is going to be unveiled, the Labatt blue and gold ale.
Sabres.com/fanfest for all the details on what will be an incredibly alumni and present day filled event.
Duffer will be there. Ribs will be there. And they'll
Are you on the list, Ribs?
Yep.
Yeah, Ribs on the list.
How did I overlook that?
We'll see.
It just got better.
You didn't read all the way down to R. It's in alphabetical
order. Oh, it's a Magic Johnson list.
It's alphabetical order. We will talk about Magic Johnson list. But first, in honor of everybody that's having fantasy football drafts, I want to ask you guys some draft questions. So first, this or that. Auction or snake draft? You guys know what an auction draft is, right, Ribs?
I do not.
Okay, well, I'll ask Duffer.
I've never done a fantasy football. Okay.
This is not surprising.
We are doing one in the office this year just for you.
But he still won't take part.
But he has to have his list and cross the teams that are the players that are being picked.
I'm going to win it.
Okay. This or that, auction or snake draft?
I like the snake.
Yeah, okay. Like just a regular straight up draft?
Yeah, exactly.
I've never done an auction, but I've watched a couple of auction drafts, like through buddies and whatnot. It's really cool too. But I think it's, you got to have knowledge and you got to know what you're doing, and it's not for the casual fan. So I'm going to stick with the snake draft.
See, everything you just said speaks to why I answered snake.
Yeah, I'm going
to
stick with the snake.
You need a lot of knowledge.
But I know, like, guys like Mike Schoep and those guys, they are like, auction is the way to go. And I can't deny it, because these guys know what they're talking about.
Do you know what my true way to go now is when I actually do get involved in anything like this? Auto selection by the computer.
No.
Sign up for Yahoo Sports Fantasy Baseball. Yep. Okay. My name's in. The computer picks my team, and I go on with the season.
Fantasy baseball is a lot different, though, than fantasy football. Like, fantasy baseball is every day.
Yeah.
Okay. How about this? If you have a snake draft, let's see, there's eight team in your draft. Do you want the first pick or do you want the last pick? So you get two picks, like you get eight and ninth, instead of having one and then go all the way to 16.
Well, considering I had the first pick of the heavy metal draft earlier and failed miserably, I'm going to say that having the back-to-backers is the way to go.
Puts a lot of pressure on that first pick. I'm going definitely with the 8 and 9. I think that there's a lot of great picks out there, so I'll go to the bottom.
If you don't have, if you have more than 10 teams, like 11 and 12 teams, to go last is hard because you don't have one of those top six or seven studs. If you are 18 or less, then going last is pretty good. So I'm going to go last as well. I think last year was like second last in my draft. I end up getting Patty Mahomes in the seventh round.
And then this year
I get to keep him, and he's costing me a six-round pick, something weird. But anyway, love that. And last about fantasy football, PPR or standard scoring? And Rivs is like, what is PPR?
I have no idea.
PPR is point per reception. So a running back that is catching four passes off the backfield but only amounts to 5 yards, he's still getting 4 points because it's a point per reception.
I'm going to go with a PP.
PPR? It's not PBR.
I'm going standard scoring.
Okay. There's more points.
Is that easier? Just easier to
I think you and I need to pay more attention in the morning meetings.
Okay, let's move on from the fantasy football, because when fantasy football is about,
I'm excited about our draft. I want to do.
You know what? That,
I want to do something.
The last 2 minutes just made me actually want to be more engaged in your bachelorette conversations.
The Bachelor in Paradise. We can talk about that too. There was one last night. I didn't watch it.
It was that painful for me.
Oh, you watched?
No,
it?
No. I'm saying the last 2 minutes of this discussing fantasy
football. Exactly.
Fantasy football is not for Duffer. That's all right, though. You know a lot about music and about hockey. That's your
and very little about beers, other than how they taste.
I don't care. Hey, the fair. The fair is going on right now.
Right in my backyard.
Steve Tasker loves the fair. He went the other day, had this chicken and food or whatever. So you go to the fair for many different reasons. So I'm going to ask you a couple this or that about the fair. Do you go to the fair for the rides or the food? This or that?
Neither. You don't go to the fair in North Bay.
I'm not talking about North Bay. You're in Buffalo, Erie County.
That's when
fair.
All the shady comes what, out.
Is it the oldest county fair in the U.S.? I think it may be the oldest county fair in the U.S. Anyway, Erie County Fair, awesome time.
Food
or drive?
Definitely going for the food. Definitely going for the food. I'm not a big fan. I just remember as a kid, you remember the one called the Zipper?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
that Zipper's awesome.
How I did not blow chunks all over that entire cage that I was in. It was the one of the worst experiences.
It's a cage. Yeah. It's like you're locked in
and
a cage and you're spinning.
It's just absolutely incredible.
What about the one that...
I was so nauseous getting off that.
It goes in circle and you stuck to the
mat,
you're
stuck to the wall. Yeah,
and
yeah,
you can't
yeah.
move. You
yeah.
pull your hand up and it's like... Boom, yeah. It goes right up.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll tell you this. I can't do those rides anymore after I sustained a certain concussion against Philadelphia Flyers, Brant Myers...
Oh.
Knocked my head off, and I was out for a couple weeks with a really bad concussion. And ever since then, I can't do any sort of ride at all, any spinning or anything.
It's old age. It's not concussion. It's old age. Like, literally, like, I go in the Ferris wheel.
I think in
Riv's
case, it's both. I mean, that's
I go in the Ferris wheel, and I get a little bit like, oh, this is, like, moving or whatever. When I was a kid.
I actually feel it here in the studio.
Yeah, it moves a little bit. Okay, how about this? At the fair... Do you go to the fair for the animals or to people watch?
Oh,
this or that?
100. This is the easiest one of the day, of the year. You go to the fair, you're going to watch the people. Because...
Even in North Bay?
He doesn't go to the fair, but if he went to the fair, it's to watch the people.
Yeah. I'll tell you need to get out of that fair before dark. Because that's when the Slim Shadies come out. I'll tell you that right now. But you know what? I mean, I enjoy whether it's at a fair or anywhere. I love to sit back and people watch. It's just really interesting to me just to kind of sit there and eat and chill out.
Eat and chill out and watch people.
Yep.
Yeah.
Duffer?
Yeah.
Animals?
I
like
I'd want to say animals, but I'd be lying. Sure. I mean, I think inevitably you just get sucked into
the best
the people watching.
Go to the... farm animals and people watch
them. Well, watch the people watching the animals. Yeah.
I love going to the farm animals, like the big cows, right? And then you got the baby cows that were just born at the fair the week before.
Everybody loves a fair. Rides, cotton candy, food, games, you name it. Like, you go to the last time I went to the fair last year with my kids. I sat there. I can't even remember a penny game where my wife was like, really? Like, you've been here for 45 minutes. We need to watch. And I'm like, I'm not leaving until I get that pink elephant.
The big baseball bat, the inflatable baseball bat that you hit everybody with.
I spent about $200 on some stupid game that it was so ridiculous. Awesome, though.
Last but not least.
That's why the fair can keep coming back every year.
I love it.
Last but not least, I wonder where Magic Johnson would have the fair ranked in his top 60. Magic Johnson's turning 60. We have actually...
Well, it's Erie County, so E...
E would
list,
be
so
eighth
probably,
or ninth.
Yeah, I'd say top 10
so,
for sure.
But I know it's been talked about all over the place in the last 24 hours with Magic Johnson and his top 60 movies, top 60 TV shows. What I want to know... You guys seen the list, by the way? Rivs, have you seen the list?
Yep.
So, top 60... Like, he's got these top 60 places to travel.
Why is this even relevant?
What? Relevant to what?
Why is it relevant? Who cares about Magic's list?
I love it. I'm just saying, like, what's the best, better list? Is it his TV list or his movie list? And for those who don't know, so his TV list, TV shows have the Three Stooges. they have the Arsenio Hall show. Bonanza, Colombo, Family Feud, Sports Center.
Yeah. I would go with this TV list just for the fact that 21 Jump Street was at the top.
21, yeah, but it's alphabetical order. So you put the numbers
in that
in
case
first.
It wasn't.
Well, it's funny because 21 Jump Street and the Three Stooges are first, and then after that, it's alphabetical order.
You're right, though. Yes, numbers sometimes. But.
His movies, though, are hilarious. Django Unchained is ranked at 18 because it's a D in Django. The Godfather is 1 because it's The Godfather. You've got Rush Hour, I think, is in there.
I think both lists are brutal.
And obviously,
that's just,
there's some
that's
good movies
me.
On that list that are
you know, listen, I mean, you're not gonna destroy it when you have 60 picks, but a lot of these picks in the movies and the TV shows are just not good as far as I'm concerned, but I mean, it's his list, and
right.
Iron Man made it to the list of top 60 movies of all time. There's no, like, I would have thought movies like Braveheart or, you know,
absolutely.
Like those type of movies.
I mean, there were so many movies on there that he did not put in. But personal choice, that's it. That's
Top Gun was on there, which Petey would absolutely love the list just for the fact that Top Gun was on the list. Mm-hmm. Was it Ocean 11 on the list as well, I think?
Yeah,
it is Magic Johnson.
Average list.
Average list. Top 60.
Narrow it down next time.
But no, but I love that he has top 60 professional athletes turn entrepreneurs. And I'm like, I have
just
those guys.
Just tell him to do the six pack next time and pick 5. Okay.
Yes, we'll do that. We'll contact Magic Johnson. We'll tell him just do a six pack, pick 5, maybe have a koozie, and it's all going to be good. Okay, we got to take a break here because when we come back, we got one last segment. We have buy, sell, trade coming up. I don't even know what it is, so we're going to have that. And this is going to be my last segment for the week. After that, I am out.
See ya.
And you guys will have a fun time for the rest of the week. So we'll be right back here on The Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hockey talk that hits. This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
Paul Hamilton's going to be in studio tomorrow as we bid adieu to Marty for the remainder of the week. When is your next scheduled appearance on The Instigators?
We could be a couple weeks because next week is undecided yet. I may be out of town at
Might have to do a phoner with you. Might have to do a phoner.
Yeah.
Get you from somewhere. Well, as you know, winding down the show. So as mentioned, Paul Hamilton's in studio with Rivs and I tomorrow, and it is time for Buy, Sell, Trade, presented by Buffalo Sports, where you can buy, sell, and trade new and used sports equipment. So the question is, buy, sell, trade.
Yeah.
Evan Rodriguez will be top 5 in Sabres scoring next season.
Rivs, you want to go first so that you don't have to go and disagree with me, just pick, and I'll agree with you if you're right.
I am going to buy this. I'm going to buy this. Last year, the top five scores were Eichel, Sam Reinhart, Skinner, Dahlin, and Rasmus Ristolainen. Mm-hmm. I think that four of those players will still be in the top four or in the top five with Eichel, Reinhart, Skinner, and Dahlin. I do believe that Rodriguez has the abilities, and hopefully he gets put in a situation where he's comfortable with his situation. He's going to stay in the same position, and I think that he's ready for a breakout year. So, yes, I am going to put him this year in the top five.
Okay, well, I will tell you no, because I'm going to sell this. I am going to say Eichel, Skinner, Reinhart, Dahlin. I think Jimmy Vesey will have more points than Evan Rodriguez. I think Marcus Johansson will have more. I think maybe potentially Victor Olofsson could have more if playing on the top six. So I am going to say, if you would have said top eight, top nine, it would have been close. But top five, I'm saying sell.
Well, the five was in honor of Riv's six-pack.
So. Yeah, you know what? I was looking at last year's statistics, and I didn't take into account that there was Johansson and Vesey coming. I still believe
it's not as bad as me last.
Well,
yesterday,
here's the thing: Johansson, if he's playing with Jeff Skinner and Jack Eichel, I believe certainly will be in the top five. Uh-huh. That being said, I still believe that Ivan Rodriguez is going to have a very good year next year, or. Better still, we need him to have a good
year. Are you at customer service right now trying to undo your
buy?
Yes,
I am.
Do you have
your
receipt?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is yesterday I made a big boo-boo at the end of the show, and I'm like, oh, the Flames could sign a guy like Jake Gardner. They have $7.7 million under cap. You guys both looked at me like, how about Matthew Tkachuk? He's got to sign. Oops, yeah, you're right. I am sorry. Remove myself from the conversation.
Anyone can do anything if you don't factor in anything. Right?
Absolutely. You just have to put Johnny Gaudreau in the minors.
Exactly.
And then they'll have the money.
Very likely scenario. Marty, enjoy the rest of your week and
you
weekend. Rivs back in his familiar spot tomorrow. Myself as well for Andrew Peters. Don't forget, it is One Bills Live from South Carolina coming up. Enjoy the day, folks.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.